Mr. Matthews, we've talked about abuse of inmates in general. Mm. Let's talk now about political groups. You're a Muslim.
Right.
Are Muslims treated any differently in Attica?
Right. Let me say this, that at the present, in order to call myself a Muslim, I would have to be one who submits his entire will to Allah. God, Almighty God, Allah. Now, at this particular stage, I have not done this. I consider myself as a mu'min, a believer. I believe in the faith of Islam.
Were you a Muslim prior to coming to Attica?
No, I wasn't.
And what attracted you to the Muslims when you came to Attica?
What attracted me was the moral and spiritual uplifting that I got from the Islamic faith, which the correctional, Department of Correctional Institution could not give me. You see, this is what I was looking for. I wanted something to take the place of my reason for being there. I needed something to supplement for my drug addiction, right? For committing felonious crimes. I needed something to take the place of this, understand? And they had no program there that I found that was qualified to give me this. So consequently, when I came into the faith of Islam, this supplemented for all that I was looking for.
Brother Matthews, now, we've talked and the commission's heard about the routine at Attica. We've heard about the long hours that inmates spend in their cells. We've heard about the few hours they spend on the yard. We've heard that they spend very little time together.
Right.
The Muslims attracted you.
Right.
You said that they gave you the orientation and the hope that you looked for.
Right.
When do Muslims have the opportunity to give you this orientation?
Right. Now, let me clarify that. You use the word they. It was one brother in particular that came to me, right? At this particular time, he was the only brother in the whole institution, right, that had this particular ideology of thought of Islam. He seen me, right? I in turn tried to run from him, understand? Because at that time, I didn't think that I was ready to become a Muslim. I didn't think I was ready to embrace Islam. But he convinced me otherwise, and he made me understand and realize my need for Islam. So I embraced it. Now, after embracing it, I found out that we came into quite a lot of obstacles. Had no place to worship, had no place to pray. We had no place where we could congregate with our own brothers who believed in Islam. We tried to get a place to pray, a place to worship. This particular brother went to Mr. Mancusi and asked Mr. Mancusi if the followers of Islam could have a particular place to pray. He in turn told the brother that you already have some place. You know, they at this time had some guys coming from UB, you know, and they were instructing the brothers in Orthodox Muslim.
And you are an Orthodox Muslim?
Right.
And would you distinguish between Orthodox Muslim and...
I don't like to use the term Orthodox. I like to say that I'm Sunnah Muslim. Now, when I mean Sunnah, I mean a Muslim who follows teachings of the Prophet Ibn Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of old. See, now you have individuals or prisoners who say that they are Orthodox Muslims, right? You have individuals who say that they are Sunni Muslims. You have various thoughts, but it all comes under one banner of Islam.
And the followers of Muhammad, the Muslims, the general population of Muslims follow Elijah Muhammad.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad, yes. There are very a great many in Attica.
Now, do they have a place of worship?
Now, they have meetings that I believe are held in the mess hall. Right. But at one time, they were denied this also. They were discriminated against greatly, and they had to put in quite a few writs in order to have what they have now.
Now, the Orthodox Muslims at this point, you say, mm-hmm. do not have a place to worship.
Now, right, like I said, the fellows that are coming in from UB, right, how should I say, they're not ordained or an imam. Imams means spiritual guide or teacher.
Could you speak up, please?
Imam means spiritual guide or teacher.
They're coming from this,
right,
what
they're
school?
Students, right. They're students.
From what school?
At the University of Buffalo. Right. Now they come in and they teach El Islam to the best of their ability, right? But now what we wanted, what the brothers in Attica wanted, was someone who from our ethnic group, right?
Black representative?
Representative.
And these are white students?
They're Yemen, Syria, from Arabia, from...
And how often do they come into the institution?
They come in once a week. This is once a week.
And how long has this practice been permitted?
This has been permitted maybe 6 or 7 months now.
Are there any other peculiar doctrines to your faith which you're not permitted to practice?
Such as eating swine. This is forbidden. Pork, pig, the hog. This is forbidden to any devout Muslim. Now, I just got finished scanning this sheet here, which is...
Well, at this time, I'd like to show the commission a menu, which we received from the institution, and you have a copy of it in front of you, Mr. Matthews.
Right.
Now, I would like you to look at the top line, and I believe that's August 15th, 1971. And if we look at that Sunday breakfast menu of August 15th, we'll see that you have cornflakes, milk, fresh fruit, and bread. Because of your faith, I understand you're not permitted to eat certain meals. Would you be able to eat that meal?
Yes.
Now we'll look at the second meal of the day, which I believe is the heaviest meal. Am I correct?
Correct.
That is the heaviest meal of the day at Attica.
Yes, it is.
And would you read down that menu, please?
Grilled ham steak with raisin sauce, mashed potatoes, brown gravy, mustard, Parker House roll, oleo, lima beans, strawberry ice cream, bread and coffee.
Now, at that meal, what could you eat from that meal?
Strawberry ice cream. Possibly the lima beans, depending on what they were cooked in.
If they were cooked in pork, you could not eat it?
No.
Do you generally eat the lima beans?
No, because I myself don't have a great taste for lima beans. Mashed potatoes with no trimmings, you know. Just simply eat the mashed potatoes with some, with the oleo. Yeah, I put the oleo on the mashed potatoes.
So you
salt.
And what about the grilled ham steak?
Oh, well, no, that's definitely out.
So you would leave that meal with mashed potatoes, possibly gravy, or no gravy?
No gravy at all, because the gravy
and
more or less came from the ham steak.
Yes. You would have the roll?
Right, I would.
And you would have the strawberry ice cream and bread?
Strawberry ice cream, and I would drink the coffee.
So then you would return to work in the metal shop.
Right.
And you would come back in the evening for your third meal.
Right.
And if the camera would move over to the third meal, we'll ask Mr. Matthews what he would select from that dinner.
Well, it all depends on if I was hungry or not. But even in that, it's not too much to choose from. I drink the tea, take the pineapple jam back to my cell, and they could keep the French onion soup.
So, the largest meal of the day at Attica is the noon meal.
Right, right.
And if you look at, if you've looked at the menu and you've determined you would only eat very little from that large meal.
Right.
How do you supplement your diet, or do you supplement it?
Well, first of all, you learn how to fast. You learn how to condition your body mentally and physically as in relation to food. Now, you know that the meats in the institutions, the great majority of them, the diet is pork, right? They tell you that they're going to have hamburger steaks that are strictly beef, you understand? But now, if you bite into it, you'll find out that it's not only beef, it's bread and pork, you understand? The majority of it being bread, the next being pork, and a very little beef, you understand? So now what you have to do is that if it's not a chicken or if it's not a fish stick, you leave it alone.
So on the average day at Attica, would you go to all three meals?
Right, well, it's compulsory that you go to the morning meal and the noon meal. The evening meal is left up to your discretion. You can go or you can lay in your crib. On the weekends, you can miss the morning meal and you can miss the evening meal, but you cannot miss the noon meal. You have to go to noon meal.
Do you believe when you see the food prepared, or food has been prepared for you, and if it's listed that something is non-beef, that it
right.
is?
I've had...
Or non-pork.
Right, I've had prisoners, guys that work in the mess hall, right, say, well, you can eat that, brother, that's good, you know? Or you could, this is all right, brother. Now, the majority of the guys, I should say some of the guys, right? Now, if there happens to be a follower of Elijah Muhammad that works in the mess hall, right, a black Muslim, right? Now, these guys, they really get down with what's happening with that food business, right? So now they're going to make their brothers aware of what's happening with the menu, right? So now, 9 times out of 10, if they tell you that you can eat it, it's usually permissible, right? But now, myself, you understand, no one is going to help me enter the gates of paradise. You understand? I have to do this myself. So now I have to use my own discretion. You see what I'm saying? Now, when I come across and I see something that I don't think is permissible, I don't fool with it. You know? And 9 times out of 10, the supposedly beef hamburgers or the beef hot dogs, you know, they tell me, well, brother, that's beef, you know. Well, I say, well, that's cool, that's nice. I say, but I'm not going to trust it anyway, you know. I'll simply have me some coffee, you know, or I'll have me some vegetables, and I'll be through with it.
Do you receive any food packages from home?
Right.
And how often are you permitted to receive one?
Well, once a month. And
are there any limits on that package?
I beg your pardon?
Are there any limits on the size and...
Right, there's a limitation on the packages. You get one package a month and on a holiday, you know. Package cannot weigh, but I believe it's, what, 25 pounds? I'm not at all sure. But it's so many pounds. Now, anything over, they send it back or they put it in the garbage or they eat it themselves.
Well, do you use the package or the foodstuffs in the package to supplement your diet since you don't eat much in the mess hall?
Definitely. This is a package coming from the street, coming in from home with loving care. Guys in the institution treasure this. This is a treasure.
Now, you've just discussed the particular problems that your faith of Muslims is having.
Right.
These things presently exist. Is the diet that you looked at dated August 15, 1971 substantial?
This is what's happening now. Yeah.
Fine.
This is what's happening now. Right.
Now, you apparently haven't given up your intention to further your education.
No, no, I haven't given up, even though I know that, or how should I felt as though the correctional department or my superiors have shot me a curve. I'm not going to lose face. I'm going to seek on my own with the best ability that I have.
And at Attica, that means, does it mean using the library? Is that one means of doing it?
Library?
The library at Attica.
Yeah, you can use the library, right?
Are you satisfied with the listings of books in the library?
No, not really. No, the majority of the literature that I have, I've sent away for. You know, I've sent on my own, you know.
What kind of books did you recently send for?
Well, the only books that I'm interested in right now is books pertaining to Islam, my religion, right? Now, as far as a formal education, I just forgot that, you know, as far as the reading, writing, and arithmetic to help me out there in the street. Well, I just cut that loose when they shot that book up underneath me. You know, I forgot about that.
As a result of the offer of the self-study course,
right,
and then your subsequent involvement with the Muslim experience,
right,
you've abandoned the institutional approach to education.
Right.
Now, have you had occasion to use the medical facilities at Attica?
Yeah. Right.
Would you tell us about some of your experiences there?
Yeah. I was trying to explain a case, my particular case, to one Dr. Williams, you know. When I was in the service, I got what is known as a permanent strain, right? It's no permanent strain. Afterwards, when I got out of the service, I went to a urologist. So he told me there was no operation that they could perform. It wasn't a hernia, right? The best that he could do was to give me some pain pills to kill the pain and give me a special apparatus to wear.
This was a doctor on the street.
Yeah, this is a doctor. This is a urologist, specialist, right? He gave me a special apparatus to wear, right, to hold myself intact, you know. At times, I may be sitting down and it comes on me, right? And severe pain, it's hard for me to walk, very uncomfortable. And I can't work, right? I'm not supposed to work, but I do work, right? So now, this particular day, I went over to see Mr. Williams, Doc Williams, in order to find out if I could possibly get a jock strap, right, to wear, right? So now, I was trying to explain to him my conditions and how it came about. I also tried to explain to him that this happened to me prior before coming to Attica. It didn't happen to me in Attica, right? It happened to me when I was in service. I ran down to him what the specialist, the urologist, told me, right? I then told him about me being in Japan and lifting heavy objects and whatnot. So after the end of the conversation, he was, you know, doing something like this. So he said, well, I'll tell you what you do. He said, why don't you write to Japan for help? So I then turned around and gave him a piece of my mind, which he quickly told the police to lock me up.
Were you locked up?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Are you now doing any, are they now doing anything about your condition?
In reference to Doc Williams?
In reference to Attica Medical Facility.
I had written up a writ, right, and I was going to present this, right, to the proper authorities, but during the riot, it was lost, right? So at this particular stage, you know, I haven't anything in reference to this effect. Another instance that I'd like to...
On that first instance, when you went to the doctor at Attica,
right,
you asked for medication or some aid for,
right,
your condition.
Right.
You were told to call Japan.
I was told to write to Japan.
Or write Japan.
For help.
You then mouthed off.
Oh, definitely, most definitely.
And then they locked you up.
Yes, sir.
Now, were you locked up because you responded to the doctor?
Yes.
And did you then go before a disciplinary committee?
Right, I went before a disciplinary committee, and quite naturally, they told me that I was wrong and the doctor was right. So I think I got maybe, I believe this particular time, 7 days, 5 days, I can't.
And nothing was done about your condition?
About my what?
Your condition at that time.
Oh, no, that was it. No, no.
You've had occasion to use the medical facilities, which you find to be inadequate, then the library, which you have almost abandoned.
Right.
The diet doesn't meet your needs either.
No.
How do you manage to psychologically survive?
Well, through my present program, which is studying Ellis Lounge, this is how I manage to survive. I managed to get down to the core and to the nature of my particular case. I managed to understand and reason it out and rationalize what brought me to Attica. After doing this, I started working on this. And at present, this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to reorientate myself. I'm trying to do a 360-degree turnaround, you know.
You said in the beginning that when you came to Attica, or you prepared yourself to come to Attica, you anticipated tremendous hostility. You anticipated just the kind of harm visited upon you, which you heard that took place in these institutions.
Mm.
When you came to Attica and you found out that a lot of these things are true.
Right.
Prior to coming to Attica, you had some experience with the Black Panther Party.
Right.
You had some experience with some other political experience.
Right.
Now at Attica, you are involved with the Muslims. Have you found that the Muslims or the Black Panthers or the Young Lords or the SDS group, if they exist, do you find that any of these groups receive a different kind of treatment from officers at Attica?
Well, most definitely. The average officer believes that these various organizations and groups, right, are a threat to them, physically, mentally, you know, maybe morally, I don't know. But they definitely feel as though the brothers are a threat, when in actuality, what the brothers are trying to do, they're trying to find themselves. They're trying to find an adequate program in order to give them a meaningful understanding as to why they exist. Now, the institution has no type of a program, so a man has to find his own program. And these are what the brothers are trying to do. They're trying to find their own program. They're trying to find themselves on their own because nobody is giving them up any help from the correctional department.
You just said that the officers find the brothers to be a threat to them.
Right. This is
you,
what
you said that the officers find the brothers to be a threat. You said further that the brothers are, in fact, really getting themselves together.
Right. The brothers don't care nothing about the officers. They're not there to intimidate officers. They're not there to try to make it hard for the guards. They're there trying to better themselves. They could care less about intimidation of the officers. See what I mean?
I do. Now, you mentioned that these groups receive a different kind of treatment. I mentioned in that group, a group like SDS. Now, basically that's a white organization.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned through interviews that many inmates, there are many other white inmates who may be sympathetic to black groups.
Right.
How are they treated by officers?
While the white inmates who are sympathetic to the blacks are treated by the officers on a very low scale.
What do you mean by that?
When I say low scale, is that they take a dim view of a white prisoner being cordial to a black prisoner. Because Let's face it, it's that inferiority and that superiority thing. It is white over black, you know. Racism versus black brothers, Puerto Ricans. Simple as that. And when they see a white prisoner fraternizing or getting chummy with a black inmate, they don't dig it. They don't like it. You know, they try to curb it.
What measures are used to curb that?
Well, they might bring the white guy off to his side and shoot a question up under his belt as to why you hang out with the niggas. You know, how come every time I see you walking in the yard with Joe Blow prisoner, you know, why don't you stay with your own kind? You know, don't they stink? You know, things like this.
And this is what the officers say to the white inmate.
Right.
Are the officers say anything different or anything similar to black inmates who hang out with white inmates?
Very seldom, you know. You see, you got a thing where now as the young brothers or the brothers as a whole and prisoners throughout New York State, they're of a different breed than 10 years ago. They're a little different than the guys was back in the Al Capone days. The brothers now are becoming aware of themselves. They're waking up. They're understanding what's going on in relationship to black and white. They are beginning to find out what makes the world go round, and they're not taking any crap from anybody, you know. And they're standing up, and they're letting the establishment, the guards, and everybody else realize this. Now, if what they're trying, the message that they're trying to get across is, if you treat me like a man, I'll respect you as a man. But if you treat me other than that, this is the only thing that you will receive in return.
You feel that your manhood is being threatened at Attica?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Manhood at Attica is intimidated 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You know.
And you've been there well over 365 days.
A year
almost,
is a month.
I'm sorry, almost 365
yeah,
days.
Right.
And you were sentenced to 5 to 10 years.
Right.
And do you feel that you could tolerate that kind of intimidation, 5 to 10 years?
Well, you don't feel as though you can tolerate it. You know that it's wrong, but you know that you only have a certain amount of say-so. You can only do but so much. So what you have to learn how to do is roll with the punches.
You think that over a period of time that this attitude will change? Do you think that perhaps next year that there will be a different view of things for you?
No. You see, what has to happen is that a whole complete system of awareness between correctional department and inmates, this has to be all turned around and reorientated. Because at the present, the way they have it at the present, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20, 30 years from now, it's not going to be any difference. It's going to be the same. It's not going to be any difference, you know?
Now, we've talked a lot about the political groups and the reaction, special reaction of officers to white inmates and black inmates. You are a fairly young man, and you must have a need for recreation. Is anything at the institution that you participate in?
As far as recreation goes, you have handball, basketball at the present. That's all. Before the riot, you had weights in the yard. You could run in the yard. Chess, checkers, card playing, right? Now, but all of this was done in the yard, right? Now, the yard during the weekday is approximately 45 minutes from Monday to Friday. Saturday and Sunday, you get two chances to go to the yard, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. You might spend 45 minutes in the morning in the yard on a Saturday or a Sunday, or in the afternoon, evening, you might spend an hour to an hour and a half in the yard on Saturdays and Sunday. During the week, it's 45 minutes. Now, within the period of a day, you have to get all your recreation in 45 minutes, right? majority of the time, it's in half an hour. They tell you 45 minutes, but you get about 30, you know. Now, if it's the brother that you want to see and he's on another company, you understand, you talk to him for 15 minutes, understand? And if you want to get your recreation off, you get your recreation off with the other 15 minutes. And then it's time to come back in and go to your home.
You've talked a lot about the grievances you have with regard to your experience at Attica. If you have a grievance, to whom do you communicate it? How do you challenge it? How do you challenge it?
Well, if you have a grievance, drop a tab to PK. You're supposed to go through the chain of command, right? From the sergeant to the lieutenant, from the lieutenant to the captain, from the captain to the colonel, from the colonel to the assistant deputy warden, from the assistant deputy warden to the big man, chief, head of state. That's how you're supposed to go. 9 times out of 10, when you went to see the big man, you wind up seeing the lieutenant or the PK. Because they are, or they used to be, the principal runners of the institution. And this is who you talk to, right? Now, if he had a grievance, he would tell you something like, well, I'll see what I can do about it, you know. Might get something done, you might not. 9 times out of 10, what he does is move you.
What do you mean, move you?
Well, whatever your grievance was, maybe you didn't like the way a particular officer treated you and whatnot, right? You got a grievance against a particular officer, and you bring it up, right? Now, during the outcome of it, you know, you are moved maybe to another block, you know. They simply get rid of you, you know.
They move you to another block?
Yeah, they move you to another block.
Now, based upon what you said about the officers, the general administration of Attica, the particulars, the diet, the library, recreation, the relationship of black inmates and white inmates fostered by, as you say, the administration or officers, it seems to me that the black inmates have grievances. And what happens if a black inmate
sends
a grievance in?
When a black inmate's having a grievance, if it's one which constitutes legal action, court action, right? Well, his best bet is to take it to the courts, right? Court of Appeals. Because inside the correctional facility, alleviation, or there's no
there's no redress?
No regret. There's no justification there at all. There's no justification at all. So what you got to do now is write you a writ. You got to write a writ to the Court of Appeals. Okay? And this is where you get any action, if any. This is where you'll get it at. You understand? Because you're not going to get none and coming from the correctional institution. You're not going to get any there. You can forget about that. That's out.
Do you write letters, Brother Matthews?
Right.
And how often are you permitted to write letters?
Well, seeing that I'm not married, no fiance, no girlfriend, I write the only lovable person that I know in the world, and that's Mom. Mm-hmm.
Do you receive any literature?
Right. I beg your pardon?
Do you receive any correspondence?
Right, yes I do.
From anyone other than your mother?
I might receive a letter or two from a particular organization, a lawyer's organization that I've written to pertaining to legal matters, or maybe from a bookstore, but other than a personal correspondence, no, nobody but Miles.
Now, you talked about your sentencing early, and that you were given 5 to 10 years at Attica. When you run...